I was traveling, and when I landed in Philadelphia, my phone just went off with a bunch of messages, and a part of the messages was what Galen was talking about. And it's not the first time I got messages like that, and I just kind of tend to shrug it off because it's just part of life. But I gotta admit, it does affect me. Those kind of things do affect me. And when I shared last Sunday, just asked for prayer, something happened inside of me. I don't really even know what it was. But as quick as I had asked for prayer, Galen came up and said, I think it's fear. And I think he was right. But what amazed me is now that this week it barely ain't affecting me, but now it's affecting Galen, or it was affecting Galen. But the beauty of being able to be open and having you all pray into the situation is actually really beautiful. Where it will go, it literally changes by the hour. One moment it'll be peace and calmness and working together, and the next hour it's like all hell broke loose against you. And an hour later it can be apologizing. It's literally that vicious. But that's by the minute, yeah. Galen is actually facing it more than I am right now. For me, I simply stop answering the texts. They come in, I don't reply. And the basic reason is this: I don't work with anger. If you're going to be angry, that's your choice, but I'm not going to respond. And but I believe we're going to work through it. I actually believe that it's greater than the situation we're a part of. I do not understand principalities exactly. I am learning, but I do not stand up here and declare that I understand what's going on. But what we are dealing with is far greater than Carlo himself. We're working against the darkness that is penetrated, that is living in the city here. I believe there's a level of darkness here that I don't experience just because of my location. And that's what I think we're up against. So any one of yous, all of yous that are living in the city here, I want to bless you. Keep your head up. I believe we are called to make a difference, and I believe we will make a difference if we walk through this in a godly way. We are called to stand up for light. In Colossians, I don't have the exact passage, but I think it's Colossians 2 somewhere, it says that the purpose of the church is to show to the principalities who God is. And in this situation, that's what I want to clear out right now, that we want to show who God is to the spirit realm around us, who he is. He's a good God. We don't have to respond in anger. We don't have to respond in fear. We don't have to go running, but we can just simply stand. In Ephesians 6, it says, when you have done everything, what's left to do is stand. And that's what we're doing right now. We're not replying in anger. We're not replying in threats. We're saying, this is where we stand. And boy, does that make anger. I'm just amazed how it makes anger. When you don't reply in nothing more than just quietly stand and saying, this is where it's at, this is what we expect, and this is where we're going. Just that stance makes sparks fly. Anyway, that was not what I was going to share this morning. But what I do want to bring out is all of us are going through life. All of us are facing life from a different perspective, different things. If there's something in your heart that you feel you want prayer for, let yourself be known. Don't hold it in. Don't retain it and expect other people just to automatically know. Voice it, and we'll gather around you and pray for you. I tell you, when you all prayed for me last week, I mean this week, a fear that I had, that I didn't even recognize I had, I'll be honest. It was just like turned off. And when the accusations were flying this week, I said, no. This is where we're going. This is what we're doing. This is what we expect. And it actually did not even strike any fear in my heart. I was actually surprised. So, is there anyone that wants prayer right now for whatever you're going through? Okay, if not, I want to have a continuation of what I talked about last time. And what I want, if you could just throw that, start on that slide, Alan. 32. Slide number 32. What I want to talk about today again is who the what the Bible says we are. And the first step here is just going and declaring what the Word says. Then I want to switch into the verses that talk about it. And I'm going to take one at a time. And if you have any comments you want to make about it, I kind of like to flow back and forth. That's where I actually operate the best. I operate better in questions than I do in teaching. So let's read these together. And then I took it one by one, the verses that are associated with the phrase. And these phrases are in Scripture that say, this is who God says you are. So we can either choose to agree with them, or you can choose to not agree with them. I would heavily recommend you to choose to agree with them. So let's read these together. I am God's workman, born to do His work. I am reconciled to God and am a minister of reconciliation. I am clothed with Christ. I have been clothed with power from on high. I am strong by His glorious power. I am a saint. I have the Spirit interceding for me. I am sanctified in Christ Jesus. I am going to judge the world. I am a citizen with the saints and a member of God's household. I'm equipped for the ministry. Actually, I do have a... There we go. Now, this is the first one. I am God's workman born to do His work, found in Ephesians 2:10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. One that just came to my mind right now is the situation we're going through. We are created to show good works in this situation. And there's something I want to clarify here. Good works do not produce salvation. But good works are a result of salvation. And I just want to encourage everyone here, when the love of Christ is within you, gives you the ability to operate in life like you couldn't otherwise. I am reconciled to God, and I am a minister of reconciliation. 2 Corinthians 5:18 through 19. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciled to the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed us the word of reconciliation. What does this do to you all? What does this verse do to you all? We can be reconciled to God. I truly believe we can become like this with God. Tight, unbreakable, unmovable. And as we experience this, a desire rises within you to be an instrument of reconciliation to all the world around you, to bring them into that unity with Christ also. I don't know if you find this, but in the situation that we're walking through right now, this is what I'm longing for. This is what I'm believing in. I believe it's going to happen. That this ministry of reconciliation is going on right now. And there's some parts in here that in our society right now that wants to keep that from happening. But I want to publicly declare that I believe that reconciliation is going to happen and that God will be glorified through this. Any other thoughts? Can we have the ministry of reconciliation if we don't have, if we're not reconciled to God? Where is the mic at? Behind me. Oh, okay. If you could just pass this around. Thank you. I don't think you can. How can we deliver? How can we be reconciled? How can we be ministers of reconciliation if we haven't first experienced it in our soul? I don't believe we can. Okay, give him the mic. I want to use the mic just in case anyone is listening in, because without the mic, you can't hear on the online.
I believe we can bring reconciliation to the extent we're reconciled. There's parts of our hearts we're reconciled to Christ, and there's other areas that we haven't been reconciled yet. And we can't expect to break through anger if we aren't free from anger ourselves.
That's right.
Or fear. So what we're pushing through right now is the fear that's still left in our heart is coming up, and we have to push through that and get reconciled ourselves to a deeper level so we can keep moving forward.
I'm going to bring the blessing of conflict into here right here. And that is this. When you get tested, if it's there, it's going to come out. Which is not a bad thing, because then you can deal with it. So I don't want to share this journey that we're going on here to spike fear into your heart and saying, I'm not going to get involved in this situation because what if it turns out like this? No. Let's look at the blessing of it all. And the blessing is this. When you get tried like this and when you get tested, whatever is not lined up within you is guaranteed to show its face. And then you can deal with it. Otherwise, it might be hidden in there and it's holding you back. So I just want to bring that as a highlight of the blessings of facing circumstances like this. Anyone else? Okay, I am clothed with Christ. Now, take this phrase, I am clothed with Christ. This here is a piece of cloth. It's a cloth. It's cut right so that it fits my body. But now, process this here. I think I might be hooked up here. I just want to use this as a visual. This is just a piece of cloth. No big deal one way or the other. But now visualize this as Christ. I'm putting on Christ. I am clothed with Christ. This goes all around, way around me. If I would have a robe, it would go down to the floor and completely cover me. Can you visualize this as Christ? Is this what's around you? Let's look what the word says. For as many of you that has been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Now, I'm going to insert something in here. Have you been baptized into Christ, or have you been baptized into a denomination? That's for everyone to process for yourself. There is a difference. For as many of us that were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. For there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. We are all one in Christ. Colossians 3:10. And have put on the new man who is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him who created it. I just love the picture of putting on that when we were baptized, we have put on Christ. And I believe this is one of the purposes, one of the reasons. And I've read numerous accounts when people were baptized, how that became a deciding factor in their life. It was actually not when they chose to follow God, although that does affect. But there is something when you choose to be baptized into Christ that I believe is very significant. And I believe right here is one of them. You put on Christ. Any other thoughts here? I have been clothed with power from on high. Luke 24:49. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in Jerusalem, in the city of Jerusalem, until you are endued with power from on high. And I believe there's some other phrases that I'll probably contact later. But this is one of the things that enables me to face the principalities or the darkness that we're going through right now, is because I know this is a reality. I know I have been clothed with power from on high. And I recognize that what we are dealing with is not that. And I recognize that in Christ, that according to Ephesians chapter 1, the last part, we are seated with Christ, according to Ephesians 2, far above all these things that were going on. I truly believe that the only grip they have is the level of fear that they can instill within us. If we can ride above the fear, they have nothing over us. But this power is talking about in Luke 24, if you're not walking in this, this is available for any one of us. This is not for a segregated group of people, but for anyone that wants it. I am strong by his glorious power, Colossians 1:11-12. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Now here I got a little problem here because I made that too small. Okay, the first one there says, I am a saint. And I really want to hit this one here, because I feel too often we process that we are a sinner saved by grace. I want to take us to another level. And that is, I want to say what the Word says about us. I think we should process life in the redemptive state instead of the fallen state. The redemptive state is we were a sinner. I mean, the previous state is I was a sinner saved by grace. Or I am a sinner, but I would rather go to the redemptive place where it says, I am a saint. Let's read some of these scriptures. In Psalms 31:23, oh, love the Lord, all you his saints. For the Lord preserves the faithful and fully repays the proud person. Now, if you see a number of these verses is what Paul or the people that were writing the books, how they clarified the people they were talking to. Romans 1:7, to all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. We're called to be saints. If you look at yourself, yes, I'm a sinner saved by grace, I'm going to screw up. It's no big. I mean, come on, we all sin, we all make mistakes. Stop it. You were a sinner, but now you are a saint. Live it. Walk it. Experience it. This excuse that I'm a sinner, we all make mistakes, so, you know, just Just live with it. We all make mistakes. No, stop that. We're a saint. Called. Grace to you. Peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:2. To the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ, called to be saints, who with all who in every place called on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, both yours, theirs, and ours. Jude 1:3. Beloved, while I was very diligently to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting to you to contend earnestly for the faith, which was once all delivered to the saints. Revelations 14:2. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who kept the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus Christ, of Jesus. Revelations 19:8. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteousness acts of the saints. What do these verses do to you? Any thoughts? I should maybe make it personal. Are you a saint? Or where are you at? Or are we, is there a place where we're not saints, even if we're redeemed, that we don't think we're a saint? How do you view yourself? Where's? Can you repeat that?
Do saints also make mistakes, or is that mindset in the past, what you said, I was a sinner, and sinners make mistakes?
Yeah, I mean, you can answer that better than I can.
I'm not a perfect person, even if I'm saved by the blood of Christ Jesus. So my question is, do saints also make mistakes? Or is that, or am I just going back to what you said, don't think that way?
See, I long that we would rise to higher, to a higher realm of sanctification. There are parts of our souls that we have submitted to Jesus Christ and gets redeemed. I believe now you are redeemed. Are there some areas that you can grow in? Probably so. I believe if we look at our life, and someone else might have a better answer than I do, and we make an excuse for our shortcoming, we are enabling the part that has not been sanctified yet. But as we make mistakes and we take responsibility and we repent, we try to turn around and bring sanctification into that area, sanctification is when I submit myself to living Lord Jesus Christ in this area. And I want Him to redeem this area, so this area of my life brings life instead of failure. As we do that step by step, we start walking in glory that we didn't expect before. Does that make any sense or not? Gillen, do you have anything?
Well, I wanted to say that him that knoweth to do sin and doeth it not, to him it knoweth to do right and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So when we wake up and we know what God wants us to do and we say, not today. That's sin. Now, a person who has the life of Christ inside of him should not be choosing to make those types of choices. If a person is saying, I'm a Christian and I'm born again and I have the life of Christ inside of me, but they are intentionally saying no to God. I'm questioning where they're at with God. So take that back though to your first question. Are, if you see yourself as a, your spirit is made new, you are now called a saint. When Christ looks down, he sees the life of Christ inside of you, and he says, there's the saint. Now, if you look at your soul, you're going to see the failures. My question is, are we going to focus on our soul, or are we going to focus on our spirit that God has renewed? So if we walk focusing on the spirit and say, I'm a saint, I've been born again, this is who I identify with, we will not fall to sin. Now, we might make a mistake. Here is a whole big theological discussion, but we might. I believe that if, how do I say this? We all sin and fall short of the glory of God. I believe there's an elementary side and there's a more advanced side. Sin is sin. We cannot change it and we cannot stop it. We can't say it's not sin. But God also says in John that him that, if you say you're a child of God and you sin, you're a liar. Forget how he says it. But basically in those terms. And so God, either God is looking at it differently or else we have to interpret this differently. I believe God is looking at our spirit and saying that's perfect. But he sees our soul and he sees the failures.
See, if you were to illustrate what we're talking about as being clothed with Christ, this here's what God sees. And we go look inside, oh, that side has not been redeemed yet. That's who I am. No. God says, this is who you are. You've been clothed with me. That's what he sees. And that's how we can be perfect. Because he sees Christ. And as we walk through life, we want our hidden things to reflect Christ. All our areas, that everything is out in the open. That we don't walk around in hidden areas. Any other thoughts in the area of saints? Maybe we should have our opens when we start or when we greet people in the mornings or up front. Hey, saints, how you all doing today? We're all called here to be saints. Now, I didn't notice something interesting here. We're called to be saints, but does that automatically mean we are saints? But we're called to be saints. I believe we need to embrace that calling. I have the Spirit interceding for me. Romans 8:27. Now he who searches the hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, what the mind of the Spirit is. Because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. This is interesting that this is after the one we were just talking about. He makes intercession for the saints. So this here, I think, should light a fire within every one of us that if we want the Holy Spirit to intercede for us, we got to be a saint. It says he makes intercession for the saints. He don't say he makes intercession for the sinners. It says he makes intercession for those saints according to the will of God. Any other thoughts?
What does intercession mean in this verse?
Well, I'm going to make it practical. And I don't know if this ever happened to you, Michael, or not, but the chance for it to happen is very highly. Miguel makes you upset, and your wife intercedes on his behalf because he screwed up. Did that ever happen? Did it ever happen, Miguel, that you made a mistake and he was upset and your mom went and then spoke on your behalf that he gives what you want because you screwed up? That ever happened? Well, Michael, for your information, unless you didn't know, a child will remember those details far beyond what you will. There are so many times I have ministered, I have prayed to with people, and I will not even recognize a face. And they come up to me, You prayed for me. You did this, this, and this. I said, what are you talking about? I don't recall. Anyway, to me, intercession is we messed up before God in our sinful state. And Jesus comes and says, listen, I'm going to speak on my behalf to the Father. I mean, I don't know. That just sends chills through me. But that is the position we are if we are walking as saints. That the Holy Spirit intercedes for us in spite of what we screw up. Because he sees his righteousness in us. His own righteousness. That to me, I don't know, but that's what shivers through me. That is actually the position we can walk in. Honestly, in the thing we're walking through, I believe it's happening. When you say so, Gillen, that the Holy Spirit is interceding for us on our behalf, I believe it is. Any other thoughts? I am sanctified in Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians 1:2. To the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all who in every place called on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, both theirs and ours, I am sanctified. And do we understand? I don't know why, but this here is just really hitting me right now. But do we understand that these areas you were talking about, Lloyd, where they're just messed up, that in Christ, those areas get sanctified as they're completely right. As we say yes to God, he cleans up those areas. And I'm just so grateful at that, because the situation we're walking through right now, he's a wonderful person. But there's some areas that aren't sanctified. And do you realize without sanctification in my life where I would be? I don't even want to, that sends shudders through me. Where I would be if Christ wouldn't have sanctified me in all these areas. That is the only difference between us. Is he's areas that he didn't walk in sanctification yet, and there's areas I have. Just hang on one moment.
It talks about to those who are sanctified, so they're already sanctified. And what you're talking about is what I call progressive sanctification or continued sanctification. Huh? Can you split that out?
I'm sorry, Jason. When it comes to the real details, you can do a whole lot better job than I can. And I bless you in that. Go for it.
Because there is a difference between being sanctified but not being fully sanctified, because we're talking about how they are. Only the ones that are sanctified, if we're saying they're continually being sanctified, which I would believe in, then they're not actually already sanctified, so they couldn't be called saints. So,
well, I guess in my spirit, I believe I am sanctified.
But in every single area? Or is it still
progressive? In my spirit.
Oh, in your spirit.
In my soul. That's a journey. And when we put on Christ, like I put on a piece of, like you put on your shirt, I see the shirt. I don't see your bare chest. I see your shirt. And I'm really grateful for that.
I was going to say the same thing, but you said it first.
But I believe that's how Christ looks at us. He sees him in you.
Okay, yeah, that clears it up. Because I was looking at the verse, and that's what I wanted you to. You actually did clear it up, by the way, Steve.
Okay. I am going to judge the world. 1 Corinthians 6:1-2. Dare any of you have a matter against another, go to law before the unrighteous and not before the saints? Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world will be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge even the smallest matters? How does that relate to what we're going through right now? I don't really know, I'll be honest. Any thoughts here on this verse? But this verse is very clear that we're going to judge the world.
I think it's saying as much as you can,
as much as you can work out things together with brothers, you know, before just running to the law. But also bringing in that, I'm not sure how we're going to judge the world, but or what that's going to look like. But I think there's definitely a reality there that he's just comparing it and saying, don't you know we're going to be judging the world? Why can't we discuss and figure out some of these smaller things right now?
I don't know exactly what this looks like in judging the world, but I actually believe it's going to happen. But I cannot lay it out in front of you how it's going to look, because I don't really know yet. Hannah.
You were saying you don't really know how this relates to the situation we're going through. What I'm wondering about is if we bring in the other verse of where Paul turned over like this one guy to Satan, what I'm seeing with this is even going to the law, like we're supposed to judge amongst ourselves, but it doesn't mean that at some point we can't turn someone over to the law. That's not what it's saying. It's just simply saying judge amongst yourselves, and I don't see that it's saying that we're not allowed to work with the law.
Right. I'm a citizen with the saints and a member of God's household. Ephesians 2:19-20. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the prophets and prophets, and Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Colossians 1:12. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. There is times, and I will admit, I'm not always there. But there's times that it feels like I'm riding on top of the world. When I see of who I am in Christ and who Christ is, I tell you, now some of you might throw my own words against me someday, and that's okay. But I tell you, there is no reason whatsoever to get discouraged. I am a citizen with the saints, a member of God's household. This is incredible. This is amazing. This is, I don't know the words I can use to realize what is available for us if we want to go there. I think I'm going to stop for now. I have, I don't know how long I'm going to continue here, but it could go a while yet, but anyone else has anything to share, but I think I'm done for now. Okay. Go ahead, Dave.
Thanks, Steve, for sharing. It was a blessing.